Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When the Israelites stood at the shore of the river Jordan to begin their conquest, the command was for them to first take Jericho. With all the conquering of this first city, the promised land would begin to fall into the hands of God's people, unto whom he had led to the promised land, or promised the promised land ages before. And now, centuries after the promise to Abraham, it was Moses who was in charge. Moses who led the people out of Egypt 40 years prior to that moment. It was Moses who had led them through so many trials and who had interceded on their behalf so many times. It was Moses who was God's man. But as you recall, the lyrics of the song are not Moses fought the battle of Jericho. It's Joshua fought the battle of Jericho that people sing. Where was Moses when they finally crossed the Jordan to take the promised land? In the verses just before our passage for today from the Old Testament that we've read, from Numbers chapter 20, we encounter the answer and see a rather uncompromising stance of God Almighty concerning Moses and concerning his leadership. And it's an interesting passage right next to this one about Israel not being allowed to pass through Edom. What happened at the waters of Meribah? Aaron died on Mount Hor, and Moses died on Mount Nebo, with spectacular view of the promised land, but it was the view that would be the closest they would get. What in the world happened at those waters that neither Aaron nor Moses should complete this journey of God's people into this promised land? Why was the task handed over to the next generation and to Joshua? It's surprising to see this passage referenced on a day like today, where the gospel is all about forgiveness. In our gospel, Peter is asking Jesus how many times he should forgive one who sins against him, and feeling very generous, he says 7 times. And Jesus says, not 7, but 70 times 7, which is, you're not meant to get your calculator out. It's meant perpetual forgiveness, repetitive, again and again. This kind of forgiveness expresses the character of God. It is the kind of forgiveness that is an image of the endless mercy and grace of God. And in Jesus, we see infinite forgiveness personified. And then one might ask, where was the mercy of God for Moses and Aaron? And we take a closer look at the waters of Meribah. At the waters of Meribah, there were two problems for Moses. And the first was that there was no water. And that's a big problem. If you're leading hordes of people through a desert, you're going to need some water. The people were not happy. But the second problem was not with water, it was with Moses. Moses was instructed by God to solve the problem of water, and he was to solve it in a very specific way. God said to Moses these words, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak. Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Moses did something, but it wasn't that. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said, not unto the rock, but unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. But that was not what he was told to do. And as a result, Moses and Aaron would find their way into the kingdom of God ultimately, but they would not lead this people into the promised land. The instructions were to speak to the rock. And instead, Moses struck the rock with a staff. What about that is such a big deal? What's wrong with that? Why was it that God remembered this that he did? Why would he not forget? Moses was meant to speak to the rock to show the Israelites that it was by the word that they would find nourishment. St. Paul would say to the Corinthians many generations later, "And all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." That is a mind-blowing thing for St. Paul to write, but nevertheless, he goes back to the waters of Meribah and said, Christ was there with them. He was the rock. What had Moses done when he had struck the rock? Oof. God had something to show the people of God. God had something to teach them about the source of life and nourishment and living water, and even about Christ in that desert. And he turned to his chosen and ordained one to help the people of God to understand, to see in the midst of their spiritual and physical thirst. But Moses would not deliver the message. The account of Moses' behavior. God does not say, "You disobeyed." The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and said, "Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." What is the transgression of Moses, of the leadership of the chosen people as they approach the promised land after wandering in the desert for 40 years? "You did not believe me." And that was it. God would forgive. But here, he would not forget. And now you're thinking, I know we must have read this wrong. Because forgive and forget, isn't that in the Bible somewhere? It's in First Hesitations chapter 0, verse never. Right next to God works in mysterious ways, which is not in there. God helps those who help themselves, which is not in there. This too shall pass, which is not in there. You win some, you lose some, which is not in there. While forgive is everywhere in the Bible, and forgiveness reveals the very character of God. What about forgetting? Only in a few places is it stated that God will remember our sins no more, but when speaking of an omniscient God, come on, you'll have to admit that's a literary device. Your sin is removed as far from you as the east from the west, and when you are in Christ, his innocence is your innocence. But while we know that we are forgiven, we cannot say that God forgot what our sin was. And you're thinking, that can't be right. Actually, it can be right, and it is right. Actually, I'm going to tell you, part of forgiving is remembering. You remember what happened, and you forgive. Listen to the words of Christ as he describes with a parable the nature of forgiveness. "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. He finds one that owes an insurmountable debt," like us. "His servant falls down before him and asks for patience and forgiveness." Sounds familiar. Sounds like, "We're not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs from under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy." And that's true. In the parable, the Lord forgave the debt, and in our lives, the Lord forgives us our debts. You could almost say that the debt is remembered no longer, that God forgave, and in a manner of speaking, forgot. But what happened next? The same servant who has forgiven an insurmountable debt is unwilling to forgive a negligible debt to one who owes him. And word of his merciless, unforgiving behavior makes its way back to the Lord. And the Lord, who forgot all those debts, remembered them. "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to his tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And you can get mad, but don't get mad at me. This is Jesus Christ speaking, who says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother there are trespasses. And right after I said that, we all together said, praise be to thee, O Christ. We've even prayed the prayer that he taught us today, saying, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us the same way we forgive others. Oof, that's a hard prayer. Forgiveness, when it is pure and complete, looks a lot like forgetting, but it's not the same thing. Unless you have a bowling ball dropped on your head, you're not going to forget what things people have done to you. And because you remember, how much more meaningful is it when God requires it of you to, from your hearts, forgive everyone, his brother, their trespasses? There is a parallel here between Moses' failure at Meribah and the consequences, and the requirement to forgive with the consequence for disbelieving. What does forgiveness require? What does it really mean for us? For us, it means to believe. What prevents you from forgiving another person their trespasses? That person made you suffer, and you're not so sure they're going to get justice. And if justice won't be wrought upon them, if you leave it to the vengeance of God, then vengeance is yours. And so you take it upon yourself to inflict that punishment upon them by never forgiving them, by doing whatever you can to hurt them yourself. You approach the rock at Meribah. God asks you to speak good words and let him do the miraculous work. Let him be the judge. But instead, what comes out of you is nastiness and the striking of a club. What Moses is faulted for at the waters of Meribah is unbelief. And God remembered his unbelief. And what is at the heart of a person who is supposed to know that they've been forgiven a great deal, even as 10,000 talents, but yet won't forgive another person an offense? What is there at the base of that? Unbelief. A person does not really believe they are forgiven, and does not really believe that God will be just. That unbelief, that kind of unbelief, is not overlooked by God. And when Jesus spoke about those who do not believe enough to forgive others, he said he will remember again the debt that you were forgiven. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. We are hearing a few things today. We are hearing about the unlimited mercy of God to forgive an insurmountable debt. That's good news. And we're hearing a warning from both the Old and the New Testaments, from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You are required to believe enough to forgive truly from your hearts. You are required to speak words that God would speak, to do things that God would have you do. The image of Moses dying on Mount Hor or Mount Nebo and not seeing the promised land, it makes you want to believe, doesn't it? Doesn't it make you want to not be that person? It makes you want to find out whatever he's asking you to do and do it. He wants you to find out whatever he wants you to believe and believe it. It makes you want to be one who sees the promised land and is not left behind. And you can start by believing what he's saying today. We've already said it a bunch of times. Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, essentially, if you want to be close to me, if you want to be like me, to say what I would say and do what I would do, then how many times must you forgive? Believe me. I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.